Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And do remember, you can also contact us via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go right to the phone calls, talk to Paul on this Friday evening, Paul in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm a little concerned because, you know, I've sinned pretty hard and fallen and really kind of turned my back as a result of a divorce on God. I feel like I may have committed apostasy, and wondering if the Holy Spirit left me, because I felt like the Holy Spirit left me.
Well, certainly I think that if you're concerned about the Holy Spirit leaving you, there's less likelihood of that being the case than if you were unconcerned. And I can give you a biblical example of that. In the book of Timothy, it's the second book of Timothy, you have an example of a man named Demas. And he was Paul's companion in Rome. He was a co-laborer in apostleship. He was a close friend of St. Luke. And yet, after his great and glorious years of service to the body of Christ, he forsook Paul. And the reason he did is he loved this present world. He was addicted to the things of the world as opposed to being focused on the things of the world that is to come. Now, I can tell you on a personal level, I once thought I had committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would have irrevocably left me. And I remember cowering in fear about this. And when my father found me, he asked me what was wrong. When I explained to him what had happened, he said with a smile, "If you are concerned about it, it hasn't happened." And I think that's the bottom line answer that can be given. If you want a relationship with the Lord is not going to turn you away. But I think what's important in answering this question is a recognition that Christianity should never be viewed as transactional. It should always be seen as a transformational process. So you want to continue walking with the Lord. Now, how do you do that? You never do that in isolation. You always do that within the context of a body of believers. You are part of the body of Christ. When you're baptized, you're renouncing the devil, and you're saying, "I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to do that within community." So the church becomes your mother, in the sense that the church provides you graces that transform you. So as long as you are desirous of being part of the body of Christ and growing from one stage of glory to another, the Holy Spirit will remain with you, and the graces that are offered via the Spirit will be attainable by you as well. So you're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. It's a progressive transformation that not only takes place within the church in the present, but will take place in the body of Christ in the eternal state as well, because even there we're going to grow and learn and develop and go from glory to glory, because God is inexhaustible and will never come to an end of knowing Him.
Yeah, I've been finding it hard to even go to church of late as well, too, feeling like I'm a hypocrite. So,
well, look, we all have besetting sins. None of us are perfect. And if you were perfect, you would be going into an imperfect body as a perfect person, but that's not the way it is. We as imperfect people go into the body of Christ, and it is within the body of Christ that we're transformed. So you're not a hypocrite because you have sin and you go to church. You go to church because it's in the church that those sins can be transformed. And one of the sacraments that you encounter in the church is the sacrament of confession. And there you're not confessing to a priest or to a pastor, but a priest or a pastor is a witness to your confession to God. And he also provides in this sacrament of confession a means of counseling. So this journey, this Christian journey that you're talking about, with all of its difficulties, with all its foibles, is a journey you don't want to take on your own. You want to take that within the body of Christ. So, you know, the church is a place for sick people. It's not. It's kind of like a hospital. You go to a hospital to be healed, and the church is like that in the spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That help?
Yeah, I would say it helps, and you know, I'm just obviously concerned about my salvation and whether I was just converted or whatever.
Well, again, I mean, you got to look at this, Paul, and this is the major point that I'm trying to drive home, as not a point in time but a process. It's not punctiliar; it's a process. You know, if you are a friend of the Lord, you grow in grace. And as you grow in grace, you're going to fall. I mean, we all, again, have besetting sins. We all have Achilles' heels. And the devil knows what they are. And he shoots his flaming arrows at those Achilles' heels. And that's why we have to learn to put on the full armor of God, which is delineated by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, because our battle is not just against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. So when we encounter difficulties with other people, when other people seek to harm us, we have to see this from the perspective that this takes place not just in a physical way, but spirit beings influencing those that are causing you to stumble. And so then you have to have a proper reaction to that as well. And what the Bible says in that regard is, do not take revenge, my friends, but give room for God's wrath, for it is mine to avenge, says the Lord. I will repay. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing that, you'll place burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. So again, it's within the church, within the body of Christ, within the Christian worldview, that you learn to live a life that's satisfying. So the fact that you're falling, that you make mistakes, is common to the human condition. But if you love the Lord more than you love the world, don't try to go it alone. Make sure that you're part of a healthy, well-balanced church.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. You got it. And, you know, many examples could be given of people who walk away from the faith. And I think this is a very important warning to continue to impart to the body of Christ. You think about what Paul says in the book of Timothy. Now I'm talking about the first chapter of Timothy, where Paul says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith with a good conscience. Because there are some, says Paul, who have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. And then he gives examples of that. So it's not just Demas. as pointed out earlier, but Hymenaeus and Alexander, who were handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Again, an important instructive moment to recognize that when you're cast into Satan's world, it is to recognize how much you need and love the world of God. So if you love the world as Demas did, well, then you're not going to care. But if you love Christ, then you're going to want to return to his body and receive the graces that transform you within that context. Coming up to Station Break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember, as always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live during the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. And thank you so much for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And when you do, on the way out to you, eat fast feast as our way of saying thank you.
The book Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. J.W. Richards has put together a six-week plan to promote healing the whole of you so that you can make 2020 one of your best years ever, physically, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. 7000 CRI.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Bill next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Bill.
Well, Hank, I just want to say I met you about 20 years ago in Calgary, and a pastor in the church I was going to gave me your book, Christianity in Crisis, and it was like the blinders fell off my eyes when I read that book. And ever since then, I totally understand false prophets and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in any of that nonsense, and I've actually literally preached against that stuff with the help of, you know, your advice and stuff that I got out of your books and that sort of thing. And I've been trying to convince my parents, who've been in this movement for probably 40 years, starting with Oral Roberts and working their way right through the gamut. You know, you pick a name in that movement and they have absolutely loved them. Now, I was talking to my mother the other day, and I know she was telling me about Jonathan Cahn and his book, The Oracle. Now, I don't know much about him. I haven't researched him too much. I've been trying to, but I've been having a hard time finding some solid, you know, stuff that I could maybe present. This might be a good opportunity for me to show my parents now that they're into this book. I'm just wondering if you could help me find some information. I have no doubt he's a false prophet, because I don't believe there are any prophets today. There's no need of it, according to you know, what Timothy said, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know, in that scripture, it says it's everything that we need. I'd just like your thoughts on Jonathan Cahn, and then if there's any way you could help me get some resources, and maybe so, if you've done any in-depth analyzing of his latest book, The Oracle.
Well, we actually have not, so I can't really speak with specificity to The Oracle, the subtitle of which is The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. But this follows a pattern in terms of his books. I typically say that what you find here is a couple of things. First of all, the selling of fear. The real tragedy is not only that men like Jonathan Cahn are using current events as a pretext for selling fear. The real tragedy is that their messages are now being promoted by mainstream ministers and ministries. And Cahn, of course, is a master at mining the subjunctive, at cultivating the seed of threat buried within each unrealized instance. The second thing I would say about him is that he makes one sensationalistic claim after another, you know, such as much that will be revealed in this book has never been revealed in written form. So he is the only one who's ever come to the point of being able to unpack or unravel a particular mystery. And added to that, if you read through his works, and I've done a little of that, but it is nauseating to tell you the truth, he is also a person that employs what I call sloppy journalism. And there's too much of that going on in the world, but it becomes exacerbated as in terms of a horror when it happens in the church. I should also say that he is a master at what I would call script torture. What that is the twisting of scripture. And this is so pervasive in his work that I think the word is aptly applied to his books. For example, I remember back when he distorted scripture to buttress his four blood moons nonsense. A blood moon is a lunar eclipse that occurs when the earth is interposed between the moon and the sun, casting earth's shadow onto the moon's surface. And it's called a blood moon because the shadow of total lunar eclipse has this reddish tinge. And four total eclipses in straight sequence is called a tetrad, or four blood moons. Well, there's not a single scripture supporting the notion of four blood moons that signified the beginning of the end or anything else. So what is Cahn doing? He's merely conjuring up magic apologetics. And even biblical languages such as the moon will be turned to blood shouldn't be taken in a wooden literal way. It's obviously judgment language pertaining to the destruction of ancient cities and civilizations, not celestial events. So you have to torture scripture in order to come up with the blood moons as literal stellar events as he does. And what is telling is there's no tetrad that you can associate with any of the most significant datable events in Israel's history. So this is all a bunch of nonsense, and unfortunately people are falling for sloppy journalism and selling fear and sensationalistic claims and the script torture that I just mentioned. So he's not someone that should be seriously considered a prophet within the body of Christ. Now, there is a prophetic gift. That prophetic gift is not that you're able to read the tea leaves, but rather it is that you are able to forthtell. In other words, you're able to exhort and encourage the body of Christ. God gives you that power to give people the right word at the right time. And when that word comes, it can be transformational. For example, there's a man who's had a very prophetic gift in my life. He's the very guy that gave me the title, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. He was the person that that spoke the right words in exactly the right circumstances that opened my eyes to the fact that the menu is not the meal. The menu is important, but it ultimately needs to lead you to a meal. So there are people that do have prophetic gifts, but not in the sense of foretelling the future, as he pretends to do. I have to leave it at that. Unfortunately, I haven't looked at the Oracle, but perhaps we'll do that in the near future. Maybe there'll be an article in the Christian Research Journal. Who knows? Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in Mississippi, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I was hoping you could give some insight and your perspective on women pastors. It seems like that is changing in the church, and it seems like Paul makes it very clear in Scripture as well as in the leadership authority established in Genesis. So I just want to know your insight on that.
Yeah, I think the bottom line, if you go back to the ancient church and its practices, you'll see that they followed the precedent of the Old Testament and the precedent that Jesus made with respect to apostolic authority. And so the way it works in the ancient church, and I think it's a great template for the church today, is that a woman can exercise all of the gifts that she has been given. The only thing in terms of precedent that she can't do is stand at the altar and exercise the sacramental duties that are given to the priest or pastor. But other than that, a woman can exercise the gifts that she has been given within the context of the church, including to teach, etc.
Are you saying that she could have the title of pastor and give a sermon on Sunday?
Well, I think she could give a sermon or a homily, certainly, but she can't exercise the sacramental duties that that are reserved for the priest, and that is the context of the Old Testament, but it's also the context of the early church. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Hank. My question is, when Jesus was on the cross and speaking to the thief, and he said, truly today, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. And since we know that Christ did not ascend into heaven on the day he was crucified, was he speaking of a place like what the Roman Catholics would consider to be purgatory, or was he speaking about maybe another type of concept of paradise that's different from heaven and also different from purgatory?
No. Well, you know, what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about the abode of the dead. And when you talk about the abode of the dead, you're talking about Hades. And within Hades, you have two things described. You have paradise described as well as Abraham's bosom. And that is the place in which you're having fellowship and communion with God and with his people. So this has nothing whatsoever to do with purgatory. Purgatory undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. And it undermines the seriousness of sin by forwarding the notion that there are venial sins that can be atoned for through temporal punishment in purgatory. In reality, as the Bible makes clear, all our transgressions and iniquities are sins against a holy, eternal God. I've written about purgatory in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Wish I could give you a fuller answer. But paradise and Abraham's bosom, Luke chapter 16, be wonderful to read that, because that's where Lazarus went. He went to Abraham's bosom or paradise. We'll be back next week with more answers to your questions. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.